This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The historic U.S. election is a face-off between two highly unpopular major party candidates, which the New York Times has estimated were chosen by a total of only 9% of the nation's population. Well, in the wake of the two major party conventions, third parties have seen a significant bump in the polls, reflecting the growing popular disgust at both Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and, of course, the political parties that represent them. Well, perhaps you saw my interview with Green Party candidate Dr. Jill Stein last week at the DNC. Today, we bring you Stein's running mate, whom she has just announced. Joining me now is Ajamu Baraka, a former associate fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies and editor and columnist for Black Agenda Report. He's a longtime public intellectual and political activist. He's just been invited by Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein to join her ticket as her running mate. Welcome to the program, Ajamu.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, first of all, congratulations to you. I was not expecting you to be Jill's VP pick. I actually didn't know that you were ever involved in the Green Party. How did this all happen? And what is your history with the Green Party been?
Well, you know, I kind of go back with Jill from the first run back in 2012. And I served on the Green Party shadow cabinet as the public intervener on human rights. So we have a working relationship. Now there was some discussion around the possibility of me joining the ticket. I heard something a month or two ago, but you know, didn't really give that much thought. But on Friday, Jill called and said that she wanted to talk to me. I was talking to myself and a few other people, and wanted to know if I was interested. So I said, let me give it some time to kind of sink in and think about it, and we'll get back. And she got back to me on Sunday, and we said, let's do it. So the ride started.
And initially, it was thought that Nina Turner, a Bernie Sanders delegate, former state senator from Ohio, who had been sort of silenced at the DNC, might be the VP pick. And it was interesting to see Jill's, kind of reaction to that. She basically, they mutually decided that it wouldn't be a good fit because Ms. Turner still believes that that she can reform the Democratic Party from the inside. And of course, that's her absolute right. But what do you make of this idea that the Democratic Party, particularly given the success of the Bernie Sanders, pro-Bernie Sanders movement coming, 46% of the delegates to the DNC being Sanders delegates, that there is at least some argument that you can make that the Democratic Party might be able to be reformed from the inside?
Well, it's a debatable proposition. And for those folks who believe that they can make change in what I think Jill correctly identifies as a counter-revolutionary party, then I think that that's something that they should try to do. Of course, this campaign believes that what's more important and more viable is to build independent politics, to build a power outside of the two-party process, because it appears that both parties are beyond reform. Now, again, conditions change. But for 2016, the reason why we have the kind of popularity that's building with this campaign is that people are pretty fed up with the limitations in democracy. They believe that neither party is addressing their needs, that neither party reflects the kinds of values and the visions of what this country could be. So they're looking for alternatives, and we believe it's important to have an alternative. You're not going to transform that party in 2016. So the question becomes, what do we do in 2016 and beyond? And the answer for us is, let's build independent political power.
I want to quote Jill Stein in how she described you. Now, you've been on our program many times, Ajamu, and my audience may be familiar with your work, but I want to quote Jill Stein and then ask you to sort of lay out your political persuasions. She said, Ajamu Baraka is a powerful, eloquent spokesperson for the transformative radical agenda whose time has come, an agenda of economic, social, racial, gender, climate, indigenous, and immigrant justice. Ajamu's life's work has embodied the immortal word words of Dr. Martin Luther King, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And she added, in this hour of unprecedented crisis, we're honored to lift up a unified movement for justice and the only national political party that is not held hostage by corporate money, lobbyists, and super PACs. We look forward to bringing this agenda for justice to the American people in the exciting race ahead. That's Jill Stein's description of my guest and her vice presidential running mate, Ajamu Baraka. Ajamu, you are one of the few people who talks both about domestic policies and international policies. You have an internationalist perspective. How do you lay out your foreign policy and your domestic policy in a unified way that exemplifies the Green Party's platform?
Well, we have to do that, Sonali, that basically to have the kind of informed democratic process we have to have in this country. We have to have citizens who understand the world and understand the interconnections between domestic policies and foreign policy. So we hope to engage the people in those kinds of conversations that, you know, one has to understand that we can't effectively implement a domestic program of reform when we have more than half of the domestic budget being devoted to militarism. So in militarism, because the U.S. is still projecting itself as a world power, is still using and dependent on military action in order to advance its foreign policies that that really advance the interests of the 1%. So we have to make those kinds of connections. We have to make sure that people understand in places like Libya, that's being bombed once again by the U.S. government, in Syria, in India, in South America. All of these issues are interconnected. And in order to have an effective democracy, we have to have an informed people. And so we don't take the people for granted. We don't play them as for chumps. We believe that the people can understand the world, and we're going to engage folks in these kinds of conversations.
Now, there is, of course, a difference between the Republican and Democratic parties. These parties are unified on many things, such as war, on Wall Street greed, and then in the margins, there are some differences. One of the differences that someone I heard pointed out is that if you end up with a Republican president, the people of color here in the United States are going to be its greatest victims. However, if you end up with a Democratic president, people of color abroad are the greatest victims of such a presidency. That may be simplistic, but is that something that you think speaks volumes?
I think that the difference is more significant than people might want to speak to. That if a Democratic candidate, if the Hillary folks win, it would be difficult for people of color in the U.S. also, because If the Clinton administration is any reflection of the Obama administration, then we see that we have not done very well under the Obama neoliberal administration. So the notion that we are going to do better under Hillary Clinton is sort of delusionary. So no, it's going to be difficult for it, no matter who wins, because Hillary is committed to the neoliberal agenda, which means more austerity. She is committed to also law and order, even though they may frame it quite differently. So there's no policies being articulated by either one of the major party candidates to address the grinding poverty that we see across this country, and in particular in the urban areas. So, no, we've got to separate myth from reality, symbols from fact, and we have to have a powerful political movement to make sure that the interests of poor and working class people are going to be protected and advanced. And the only way we do that is building an independent political party. No, either party winning is going to translate into more hard times for poor people and working people in the U.S. and in particular, people of color.
Now, Ajamu, the polls that were conducted earlier this year when Bernie Sanders was still a viable presidential candidate showed that he had more support than either Clinton or Trump and that he would have handily beaten Trump, an indication that progressive politics, are in demand here in the United States. However, now that Sanders is out of the race, we're seeing a much bigger bump for Gary Johnson, who some see as the alternative right-wing candidate, who's jumped in some polls as high as 13% in some states, versus Jill Stein's ticket, which has jumped somewhere between 3% and 6%. Why do you think the left alternative to the Democratic candidate isn't getting as much support as the right alternative to the GOP candidate?
Because the left alternative is more of a threat, that
To
the ruling
voters?
more of a threat. Therefore, that's why the Stein campaign has not had the exposure that the Libertarian candidate has gotten. You might recall that just a few weeks ago, they were getting significant press play while the Stein campaign was still being marginalized. So it's only a matter of who gets exposure. We think that if we get the exposure, that people are going to respond to our message and to our vision. And I suspect that because of the bump, because of the added interest being expressed by people across the country, that we will get more exposure. And with more exposure, we're going to gather more support. So, we're going to see what's going to happen. We believe that with that exposure, people are going to weigh the alternatives. And I think that working class people are going to see that the best way to advance our collective interests is to support this campaign.
Now, do you think that it's possible that people on the left are sort of less willing to vote their conscience, if you will, so scared of a Trump presidency that they're holding their nose and throwing their support behind Hillary Clinton, whereas on the right, people are more willing to risk it, if you will, and risk being labeled spoilers, and actually choose a candidate that they think better represents them?
It's interesting that there's been more effective insurgencies on the right than in the left. Liberals have been very successful in maintaining a lid on opposition, and they've been successful because they've had willing partners from the so-called left that have been pushing this super pragmatic line for the last three elections that says that basically we have to be so scared of whatever Republican candidate might be out there that we have to once again hold our nose and vote for the so-called lesser of two evils. We said, no, we have to build power. And we're not afraid of being an insurgent. We're not afraid of even having to deal with a Trump presidency because we believe that the struggle for social justice in the U.S. is a protracted struggle. And so if it means 4 years of Trumpism, and we are in opposition, then so be it. Look, the argument that many of the left will advance is that we have more of an opportunity to more space, if you will, to influence a Clinton a candidacy, a Clinton a presidency. But if that was the case, why didn't the left and liberals, why weren't they able to influence Barack Obama? These people are not serious, Sonali. They're not serious about struggle. They're not serious about transformation. They are comfortable in their middle-class lives while the people are really suffering. And they are collaborating with the ruling elements in confusing, diverting, and undermining the ability of the people to really grasp the nature of the challenge and to be empowered to do something about this.
Now,
So no.
I want to pick up on what you just said because I have a sense that at least some among my audience would be shocked at you saying that if we have 4 years of Trump, then so be it if people are in the opposition. Because, the argument, of course, in favor of Hillary Clinton, even among those who do not consider her a candidate that aligns with their values, is that Trump is just too far fascist. futuristic, you know, unlike anything, any threat that we've ever seen to this country, that, you know, talking about banning Muslims, building a wall, you know, just so misogynist, so far out of the realm of what we've seen from presidential candidates, that it's just too risky, that to say 4 years of Trump, so be it, is just not acceptable.
Well, we understand that Trump does represent some very dangerous forces, no question about that. And we understand that Trumpism will be with us for quite some time. So we're not going to downplay the threat.
And when you say Trumpism, what do you mean by that?
That the kind of social forces that have come out of the margins to support Trump are going to continue to be with us past the election, whether he wins or not. So there, and they represent a real dangerous element of the far right. But the Republicans have been courting the far right for quite some time. Both Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio are both to the right on Trump on a number of issues, but yet they were seen as a more palatable candidates, if you will. We've got to divide, we've got to separate myth from reality. Of course, Trump's rhetoric is bombastic, is backward, is racist, is xenophobic. There's no question about that. But, you know, it was Barack Obama that suppressed Occupy Wall Street. It was Barack Obama's DOJ that's failed to bring only one prosecution of the killer cops. It is Barack Obama's administration that's been involved in expanding the war, the reinvasion of Iraq, the expansion of the war in Afghanistan, the assault on Libya, the undermining of the sovereignty of Syria. So these are real incredible things that have already happened. The notion that things are going to get worse or the things are right now is doesn't correspond to reality. So again, we say that, you know, the people are going to win out in the end, regardless. We've got to be clear about what we need to do to confront the challenge of the time. So yeah, it's very dangerous. There's no question about that. But, you know, at the Democratic Convention, you've had them screaming USA, USA. You had them basically taking on all of the symbolisms of the right. Why? Because they have moved further to the right. So when do we have effective opposition in this country?
Right.
If Hillary Clinton wins again, you know what happens, Sonali? The left and liberals, they go back to sleep.
And it's interesting to see a lot of Republicans, one after the other, coming out and endorsing Clinton. Ajamo, I want to ask you about some of the media buzz that has been following Jill Stein. You mentioned that the Stein ticket has not received enough exposure. One of the things that has been coming up, but bizarrely, is this allegation that Jill Stein is anti-vaccination, to sort of paint her as this crazy conspiracist. Now, she's addressed that. I read the Washington Post article where she was interviewed, and she made it very clear that she's a medical doctor and that she sees vaccinations as a very important part of public health. But is this an attempt, you think, or is this part of the kind of rhetoric that indicates that her candidacy and now your and her candidacy is considered dangerous? So we see these kinds of you know, false statements swirling around her?
Look, we understand that the Clinton folks, they play to win. So any type of controversy, any kind of way that they can split the voters and potential voters away from this campaign, they're going to attempt to do that. The Green Party campaign is a real threat, in particular in those swing states. So we expect those kinds of attempts to undermine the credibility of our campaign. And Jill won't be the only object of those efforts. That issue has been dealt with and dealt with effectively, but we know that around the corner there'll be other kinds of attempts to try to undermine the campaign and to paint the entire campaign as a campaign of crazies, if you will. But, you know, I don't think the American people are going to fall for it, especially if we get a chance to present our credentials and our program and ideals to the American people. The people are looking for some real changes.
Ajamu, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck to you.
Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking with Ajamu Baraka, former associate fellow with the Institute for Policy Studies, editor and columnist for Black Agenda Report, and longtime public intellectual and political activist. And Jill Stein, the Green Party presidential candidate, has just invited him to join her ticket as vice president. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.